22 minutes after the hour on a tuneful Tuesday here along the Broken Road. And Tuesday means none other than Dr. Don Clark. Don is a vineyard, a biochemist, and a member of the Board of Creation Moments. And he joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, how are things down there in the vineyards?
Oh, everything is asleep. It's nothing, no activity in the vineyard per se.
What does a little old winemaker do then during the month of January? Do you look at catalogs for next year? What?
Well, no, we're involved with a project. We're building another cool room to store our wines because we had a lot of wine that we packaged this year, or last year actually.
Well, yeah.
And so we need a place to store it. So we're kind of building out some space that we had and. We got it insulated, and we're sheeting it with some metal. And then we'll put the doors on, and we'll be epoxy the floor and be ready to go.
So you're into construction then during the off season here. So the grapes just take care of themselves this time of the year, huh?
They do. The only thing that's growing are their roots, and so any sugar that they accumulated at the end of the year after the harvest, they put into the roots, so they'll have some energy when bud breaks.
Ah, okay. Well, I should mention, by the way, that if you're interested in what Dr. Don's doing with his winery down there in Texas, Valle della Pace is the name of the winery, and there's a link to it on our Broken Road site. And you can go to their website, take a look at what they do. They do produce some fine-looking wines and fine-tasting wines, I should say. I've always admired your graphics because that's kind of what I do, you know. But I visited the place and vouched for it, and a nice variety, and always developing new wines. You'd think by now all the wines that could be developed have been developed. You know, it's been, 2,000 years, 5,000 years since the first wines? You'd think they'd have it all wrapped up by now, but no, there's new ones all the time. Or is it just new names, Don?
Well, it's the new names. Of course, you have your own names that you come up with. For example, we have a new Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot blend that we call Malizioso, which means mischievous. Our thought was our grandsons are kind of mischievous. But our theme is a gal label, so we have a illustration of a gal on our label with a mischievous look, and it's a mischievous blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
Well, I'll bet it is. And I just we need to get some of that up here in East Dakota in our local wine stores, but I don't see it on the shelves yet. You can order it online though, can't you?
You can order it online. I am limited to where I can ship. It depends on the state as to whether there's any shipping. There's usually some shipping requirements that you have to file for a direct shipper's permit or something, and
it makes it expensive to ship wine, doesn't it?
It does, because those licenses aren't cheap, and then some states you get into filing tax reports every month once you've started the process. So it depends on the state. Your state is actually easy to ship into as long as I don't ship you more than a case or a case and a half a year, I think is what it is.
It's easy because in East Dakota, David is emperor, and we haven't restricted the flow of alcoholic products across our police lines demarcate our borders.
You're not going to be restricting anything. We're going to have lots of alcohol coming across our borders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You need it. You need it because it's so cold.
That's
true. You need to warm up a little bit.
That's true.
That's right. That's right. You need some. Absolutely.
Speaking of cold weather, and I've been really chilled all winter, and I can't, even when it's like 30 degrees, I'm shivering inside here, and I don't understand it. I have to conclude that there's some flaw in the design of my body. How's that for a segue into the article?
Transition is what is going here.
Yeah, he's transitioning into the topic of the day, which is the human body intelligently designed?
And not only that, my knee kind of hurts too. So I'm thinking, what went wrong here?
Well, I tell you what, you know, we'll go to the bottom line first, and then we'll start from a different direction. But yes, that is a good question. Is the human body intelligently designed? And why do you have knee problems? Why do you have eye problems? Yeah. Why does people have heart problems?
Well, let me read you this opening paragraph, because this will set the stage as well as it can be set. This is from an article in Medical Daily by Matan Shalomi is his name, and I'll just read this short paragraph. He writes, "You have no idea," this is a quote now, "you have no idea how awful the human body is." He goes on to argue that the human body is badly designed in many ways, and that this shows we are the product of blind Darwinian trial and error evolution. To say that humans were intelligently designed by a creator is to insult God, Shalomi writes, because our bodies show no intelligent design at all, he says. Where does this come from?
Oh, it comes from his beliefs. And, of course, you know, you wouldn't expect suspect that this fellow is an atheist, but he is. I mean, you
know. Well, what impresses me most is that he took this as a way of trying to prove the truth of what he believes. And he did not succeed, at least not in my mind here.
Oh, and I don't think he succeeded in very many people's minds, because he one of the examples that he uses for poor design is the eye. And our eyes are designed magnificently, and he uses the inside-out kind of structure for the eye as, hey, that's a terrible design. But if he knew anything, I was in ophthalmology for a while, and I did ophthalmic research and with the biotechnology company that I was with. And the eye is a marvelous design structure for the function that it was intended to be. And one of the reasons why he says, "Oh, the human eye can't be that great because we don't have nictitating membranes," and that's another eyelid, if you will. But it's clear that, you know, if there's danger about to approach to your eye, it closes and you can still see, but it protects your eyes from dust and such. Well, so does our tears. Our tears protect us from dust, and our blinking helps, you know, it's like a windshield wiper. Mm-hmm. But the other part of the eye is that the nerves are on the inside of the eye. So your nerve fibers are actually running across your retina, on the top of the retina, as you're looking from the inside, you know, not from the outside in. And then they exit the eye for the nerve bundle, which is our blind side, our blind spot. And so he says, well, the blind spot's an inferior design because we have a blind spot in the middle of our eye. Well, it's not exactly, and I'm in the middle. And it allows something much more important to our eyesight, which is we have rods and cones, and it allows packing the rods and cones much more tightly, and it allows for the blood vessels to actually, which is on the other side of the eye, to take away the debris that is being rapidly formed as our eyes, you know, convert light into electrical impulses that we actually see. Every time a photon enters our eye, we have photochemical changes that take place in the rods and the cones. And of course, the rods are for black and white vision, if you will. And then the cones are for color vision. And we have a higher concentration of the cones near the center of our eye than we do out in the peripheral. We have mainly rods in the peripheral. But there, did you know that there are little cells that crawl up and down the rods and cones that actually clean them?
I had no idea. No.
There's little cells. There's, pigmented epithelial cells that run up and down the rods and cones, cleaning them to keep them functioning. And you couldn't have that if the structure was inverted. That is, you had the blood vessels on the inside and the nerves on the other side. Mm-hmm. So this fellow doesn't really know his, the structure of the human body very well, so he can criticize it all he wants.
Here's another critique of the eye that he makes, and I got to wonder about this. He said, but our eyes go bad, sometimes too soon. Then you have all the eye problems, the myopia, glaucoma, cataracts. Why do our eyes fail so often? Who designed these faulty things? The answer can't be a god, because a god so incompetent in designing vision sensors isn't worth worshiping. Now, the statement itself is gibberish, but the fact that he includes it in the article says, here's another evolutionist who, though he maintains that evolution is an established fact of life, of science, it's the way it is, still feels compelled to try to prove it.
Well, he does, and he's really grasping at straws, because the fact that our body decays is not a fact of the design, but is a fact of what is a product of sin. Because we learn, of course, in the Bible, that from very on, that the wages of sin is death, and so our bodies will are guaranteed to decay. But before the flood, for example, our bodies humans lived on an average of 900 years, Methuselah 969 years. And you can say, oh, that's just myth, and we really didn't live that long, because we can't possibly live that long now. But if you look at the Genesis record, if you look at Genesis as not a story, but a actual fact, then the ages in the Bible are accurate, and those folks lived that long back then. So what changed between pre-flood environment and post-flood environment? Well, a lot changed, not to mention the kind of the structure of our earth, but instead of living in a more perfect environment, because recall that when God finished his creation and finished man, he said it is very good. And the word there is really perfect. It is perfect. So we were created perfectly from the very beginning, and it's only because of man's sin that imperfections were allowed to come in because of the result of sin. So he should blame the diseases that we get, both not only eye diseases, but heart diseases and knee diseases and joint diseases and everything else that we experience, on man's sin, because man was originally designed as perfect created perfectly to live in the environment he was designed to live in. So the environment that we are living in now is not the perfect environment that God originally intended, but is the environment that God intended for a sinful man.
And yet, and I this just struck me, because now I go back to C.S. Lewis, and he maintains that you have never met a mortal human being. We're all immortals, and yet we don't live in the body as long as we used to. I mean, this change came about. Well, Genesis says that God determined that the lifespan of man would be 120 years, and DNA research pretty well supports that there was that change at that point in our history. Correct?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously Moses lived 120 years, because that's when he died, up on top of the mountain. And of course, you had this discussion going on between Satan and and the archangel. He died at 120. And the Bible further explains that our lifespan will be 70, a little bit further on, and 80 if you're a righteous man. So there's something about being righteous or following God's plan that leads to a longer lifestyle. And we can obviously see that, you know, if you take drugs and you're not living according to God's plan, your life may be indeed shortened. But before the flood, however, God designed us to live forever in our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. And he designed the earth in such a way that to support that. But after man sinned, things began to decay, including the environment in which man lived, and they really decayed after the flood. So if you look at the lifespan of folks, the patriarchs, if you will, throughout the Bible, you'll see a sharp decrease from 900 plus years down to 500 and then down to 120 for Moses, and then ultimately the 70, 80, you know, 90 years that we have today. So it is the environment that is affecting us, and of course, the more pollutants we put into the environment through man's ignorance, if you will, and not being good stewards of the land, then the quicker we see death, physical death, as opposed to because of the, you know, results, as I said, the results of sin. But man was originally, the physical man was originally designed to live forever.
And what strikes me about this whole biblical creation story is that it fits with what science is telling us now. It is consistent. And if you take a look at DNA research and the mutations with each succeeding generation, and you work backwards and you get to a point to where the flood is reported to have happened about 4,400 years ago, you see things changing in a pattern that is described accurately in the Bible. Why is that not considered weighty evidence by science itself?
Well, because science likes to put things in a box, and the Bible is not in that box. We have to look outside of religion. We have to look outside of theology, and we just have to look at the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a recorded history, would you not be wise to maybe interpret what you see in the world from the actual recorded history of man and of the world? And these folks don't. They say, no, we can't look at that because it's in a religious book called the Bible, and so therefore it holds no credence. But they come up with all of these remarkable explanations for how we got here, why we're this way, and as in our topic today, you know, the human body is not intelligently designed, and if it was, you know, if this is what is intelligently designed, then it's an insult to God, is blasphemy, really, for one thing, but, mm-hmm. Shows this man's ignorance and his reliance on himself and his own understanding, as opposed to reaching out of himself and perhaps considering that there is some documented evidence that might lead to a different conclusion.
And it's interesting to me to know that despite the miraculous things that science comes up with now, and how many of those findings in the most recent research in quantum physics and development of computers and electronics and the digital process doesn't speak loudly to them of the creation as described in the Bible. It seems to be supportive of that story, not a dichotomy, not in contradiction to it at all. And yet it's ruled out as inconsequential, I suppose, because they can't explain it in rational terms. At some point, you have to have at least a modicum of faith to make the story work. And if science rules out that whole realm of human experience involving faith, they have no answers. They can't get that from here.
Yes, and if you limit your box to only trying to figure out with your own mind, your own corrupt mind, by the way, mm-hmm. then you're not gonna come up with the correct or the even a logical explanation as to how we got here, because there is if one truly opens their eyes and just looks at things around them, that's all you see is design. Mm-hmm. You don't see randomness, around us. Anything living is design, from, the ant all the way up to humans, the elephant. Everything is designed for a specific purpose. And designed exquisitely, for that particular purpose. But if man wants to say that he is God, as Satan said, mm-hmm. that he wants to be God, if man wants to be his own God, he is going to refuse anything that suggests that there is another God that he must contend with.
Mm-hmm. Refuses to submit. That's the way it works mm-hmm. out. Interesting article. Interesting handling of that article today, too, by Dr. Don Clark, member of the board of Creation Moments. I want to recommend their website to you, creationmoments.com. And the whole reason for the organization, for the ministry, is to promulgate, to find and disseminate scientific information that is supportive of the biblical creation story. And there is ample science to do so, and you'll find a lot of it at creationmoments.com. Dr. Don Clark, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great week. And
You folks, too. And I hope you don't get too cold up there.
Well, I don't know what too cold is. We're here for the cold. So I suppose the colder the better. I suppose.
Yeah. We're here.
Don, we'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, very good.
See you, Don.